that little psalm, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be safe from my enemies. I
each and every one this morning. We give everyone a very warm welcome in their service. And our brother Yule has, I believe, a shingles. That's why he's not here this morning. So we want to pray for brother Yule, and that the Lord will touch him. Praise God. Good to see our brother Laurie again, and also. Brother Edris was telling me, Sister Sheila's back home again. And we just thank the Lord for what the Lord's done, praise God. You know, what I advertised to preach this morning, I'm not going to be preaching. I closed myself in with the Lord yesterday and I was preparing something. And what really gave me a thought was somebody had asked me about scriptures about heaven. And I was looking through scriptures about heaven, and there's so many scriptures about heaven. And then this one scripture in particular, I couldn't get away from it. And I put down a few notes. I haven't really prepared a sermon as such. And then I left it, and I had someone else what I was going to preach this morning. But when I got here this morning, I couldn't get this out of my head. And I feel the Lord wants me to bring this. It's for somebody. Then a brother Ian put up a thing this morning as well on the mega group. And that's the exact same scripture. So God's talking to somebody from this word. And I have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. I don't care what I've prepared. It'll make no difference what I've prepared. It's what He's prepared. It's what I'm interested in. And it's getting the mind of God. And that's what I want. And let us turn in our Bibles this morning till Hebrews 4. And I want to talk about a heavenly rest for the people of God. And if the Lord leads, I would like to do maybe a series sometime on heaven. And there's so many scriptures on heaven. Praise God. But this morning, next is about the heavenly rest for the people of God. Hebrews 4, verse 1 to verse 11. And we'll read the word of God. Let us pray and then we can be seated. Praise God. And just while every head's bowed, every eye closed, and if you have a need this morning, just lift your hand to the Lord. Praise God. We want to pray for Brother Yule. Praise God. We thank God for Mark's testimony on Wednesday night. Amen. How the Lord healed him last Sunday night. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you are on the throne. Amen. And you will remember your own. Your promise is true. He will not forget you. God is still on the throne. Lord, we approach you from your footstool. And we come into your very throne room and into your presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. We plead the merits of the blood over our lives and over this house afresh. And all that's near and dear to us, we plead the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We say to the devil, the Lord rebuke thee. And oh God, cover thy people with thy blood.
Yes.
Meet every need of every man, woman, boy and girl.
Amen.
We ask for Brother Yule that we rebuke these shingles. We command them to go off them.
Yes.
And the power of God to come on them. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. We rebuke every attack of the devil. We rebuke the spirit of infirmity and the spirit of anxiety and fear in Jesus Christ's name.
Hallelujah.
And we pray for perfect peace.
Amen.
Which passeth all understanding and the rest of God in the name of Jesus Christ. I do take the Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you, Lord, you do.
Hallelujah.
I bless you, Lord. And for the hands raised, meet every need. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't God good?
Amen.
The devil is a liar. Now, Billy Paul Branham said, how do you know when the devil's telling a lie? Every time he opens his mouth. For there's no truth in him. He's a liar from the beginning, and the Bible says he's the father of lies. But Jesus is the truth.
Amen.
The way and the life.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. He's the opposite to the devil. Now there's the Mormons or the Jehovah Witnesses or some of them false ones. They believe Satan and Jesus as brothers. That's what they believe. One turned out good and one turned out bad. But they're wrong. Because Jesus Christ is more than a man.
Amen.
He's a God-man. Spurgeon called him right when he called him the God-man. He is the only begotten, special, unique Son of God. There's no other one like him. That's why it was only his blood.
Amen.
That could redeem us.
Amen.
And save us, the blood of Jesus. Let's read from verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of a seventh day on this wise. And God did rest a seventh day from his works. And in the place again, if they shall enter into my rest, saying, therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in, because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a day, a certain day, saying, and David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not have afterwards spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God.
Amen.
For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works. As God did from his. Praise God. Let us labor therefore to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And we know God will bless his word. There is a rest that remaineth for the people of God.
Amen.
Verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. Rest, a heavenly rest. Now, heavenly rest is not something you work for till obtain it. And I'm going to try and explain a little bit about the two Sabbaths. Now, what I mean by the two Sabbaths, there's the Sabbath of the Jews. And a lot of people think they're still under that. But I'm not. Then you have the Seventh-day Adventists in Bond Bridge, and they meet on a Saturday. Because Saturday is the Sabbath. Sunday's the first day of the week. And they'll argue over the day. How many knows that? Now, I'm not condemning the Seventh-day Adventists. Don't think that. Personally, that's up to them. They can keep whatever day they want, but it won't save them. And they're misinterpreting the Bible. I'll tell you that right now. Praise God. But I want to try and explain this a wee bit before this night. Felt the Lord just wanted me to talk about this morning. 9 times in the first verses of Hebrews 4, there's a solemn warning given from the Holy Spirit. 9 times. And God wants us to enter into rest, and God warns. And there is a rest also. The unsaved man has never entered into rest. The unsaved man or woman has not any rest. And I was thinking this morning, I went to lift up Brother Matthew, and I seen a fella. I would guess he was older than me, but he mightn't have been. I don't know. But let's say he was my age. And as the older you get, you say you're middle-aged, but you're kidding yourself. I'm talking about myself. I'm no longer middle-aged. I am past middle-aged. I'm 54 coming. 40's not even middle-aged. 35's middle-aged. Going by the Bible. 35's what the Bible calls middle-aged. Because you're allotted 70 years. 10 extra reason to help. So as you get older, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. I'm still a young fella and I'm 54. You know what I mean? But people say, try to, you know, they're not middle-aged yet, but they are. They're past it. But the point is, well, the point I want to make this morning, I saw a fella come out and he was all dressed up to go on a motorbike and he had no interest in the things of God. I could tell, now, I don't know the fella, but I'm just using an example. People put the things of God off and they put it off and they put it off and they put it off and they get older. And they never enter into God's rest. And the thing is about it, that there is a death appointment for every man and woman. Because the Bible said it's appointed unto man to die. So there is a death appointment. If you're not born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, you could miss the death appointment. If you're saved for the Lord, you could go in the rapture. How many knows that? You could get a body change. But the man that's not saved will never miss that appointment. It is appointed unto man to die. And that man, he's loving his life, what he thinks, he's enjoying himself. On the Sunday, he's gone out for a cruise on his bike. You would say there's no harm in that. There's no harm in it. But the thing is, they put off God. God is put off for another year, for another week, for another month. And they get older and older, and they never come to the knowledge of Christ. And it's hard sometimes to get old people saved because they're set in their ways. That, the Bible says that. The Bible says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. It's good to get saved when you're young and serve God. And give God all of your life. Now, God can save an older person. I've seen lots of old people saved. I've had the privilege of leading people to the Lord that's old. But it's great to serve the Lord when you're young. And God warns us four times in this chapter 4, a solemn warning by the Holy Spirit. What happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness? They were given a warning. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for an examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. God shows the children of Israel, to me and you, as a warning. They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness on a 40-day journey. Take 40 years. And there's people that should be saved, but they're not saved. They're putting it off till another day. There's people that should be doing something for God, but they're not doing it. They're putting it off for another day. And as a brother John mentioned the other week, many times the Holy Spirit speaks to us, but we put it off, and He's gracious, and He speaks again, and we put it off, and He's gracious, and He speaks again. But there is a day when the Holy Spirit will stop speaking to man. And you know, when you've warned someone three times, you're not obligated to tell them the fourth time. That's the Bible. When you've told someone three times, you're under no obligation to warn them again. And in this country of ours, people have heard the gospel, the gospel, the gospel, and many of them have done nothing about it all their life. And they're going to meet God someday, and they've never entered into the rest. Israel coming out of Egypt is the picture of the new convert saying goodbye to the old and wicked world. The Passover lamb with its blood on the door pictured salvation, the crossing of the Red Sea, and hemmed in with waters on both sides, completely covered with a cloud, pictures water baptism. All these things in the Old Testament are the Lord. The trials and troubles of the wilderness pilgrimage picture the things that has beset a Christian and his journey toward heaven. And all of us has been beset with different things, haven't we? But God makes provision, and we're to go on. We're not to stop, we're to go on. The Canaan land, flowing with milk and honey, the land of grapes, Eshcol, the roses of Sharon, the cedars of Lebanon, the godly land, was a symbol of heaven. Our fathers thought of heaven on these terms. That's how they thought of heaven on these terms. Now, you know, when you read Malachi, the Bible says we're to be restored back to the faith of the fathers. How many knows it says that? That's the Pentecostal experience. We are to be restored back to the apostolic message and the apostolic experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And really this rest of God, and I know I'm jumping ahead of myself, it is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is the rest that God wants to give His people. It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's God's rest. It is heaven and earth for you when you get the Holy Ghost. That's what it is.
Thank you, Jesus.
How sad that many feel the hardening their hearts and unbelief and reward. And you know, there's many people, and I'm going to say this, they could even come to this service. I'm not saying they have. But when you start to talk about tongues and healings and things, a lot of people do not want to hear it. Because they've sat in denominational circles for so long, and they've never heard an apostolic message preached. And when they hear an apostolic message preached, it's not the right food for them.
Amen.
They've been eating the chicken feeding for so long.
Yes. Amen.
Eagles do not eat the chicken feeding. They eat eagles' food.
Amen.
And we want the full word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Fella used to say to me, you never miss a slice of a loaf. But I'd rather have a lump of steak and a slice of a loaf.
Amen.
Tell you that. And I'm not really one for the loafs, I'm sorry. I call them a gut bloater. That's the truth. And a lot of people have found out they're intolerant, they're lactoid intolerant. And when they eat certain breads, they swell up. Now I'm being serious about this. They swell up. And the Bible warns us of the leaven of the Pharisees. Speaking of bread, because it's contaminated with man's doctrine, and God wants to give us the pure bread of heaven. There is good bread. Good bread. It's good to eat good bread, but some bread's not good bread. Some bread you buy, you can roll it up, play football with it. It's like mud. It's like the stuff you put around Wendy's. You know that stuff they used to use? Putty around the Wendy's. But real bread. My grandmother used to bake real bread on the hearth from real flour. And you got the big bag of flour and it was real bread. But you see the day, you see what we call wheaten bread, that Matthew's not here. He knows all about it. He's a baker. He knows all the cheating that they do. But what they do, they dye it. It's not wheaten. They dye the bread. I worked in it. I know what I'm talking about. The bread's dyed. So you're eating the bread dye. And most of the food we're eating is tampered with some way. And then you lift the product. Everybody makes a big mistake, you know, they go for the low fat. That's a mistake. You want to get the one with the fat in it, but go for the no sugar. It's a no sugar you want to look for, not the fat. It's not the fat that's killing, it's the sugar that's killing. A top man who works with cancer patients says the first thing you need to do with somebody, what if you're going to treat them, stick them off all sugar.
Right.
And we had to be honest, if we did that, there's not a lot of things we could eat. Did you know there's sugar in potato crisps?
Yeah.
There's sugar in everything.
Right.
Sauce, sugar in it. There's sugar in everything. Everything's contaminated with sugar. Now, I don't want to get off the subject, but there's genuine bread. But you see, when you preach the truth, and people are so used with a certain weak thing, they don't want to hear about tongues, they don't want to hear about miracles and healing. They never hear that because their man doesn't believe it. But I'm sorry, I'm not interested in their man. I'm interested in the Bible. Their man doesn't interest me. He never died for me on the cross. Like Big Ian Paisley once said, the Baptist never saved him and the Presbyterian never saved him, but Christ saved him. And that's really how it is. Willie Mullen, I think, said it as well. The Baptist Union, he said, never bled for me. Christ did. It's Christ that bled for them. So you can have all systems. But people miss it because of unbelief. The Jews missed Canaan and wandered 40 years in the wilderness, and their carcasses fell and the burdens bleached outside the land of promise. So our chapter begins with a warning to make sure of our salvation and we can enter into his rest. And there's a making sure. You say, brother, make sure you preach in works. No, but there is a seal of God. There is a seal of God. And the Bible speaks to the seal of God in Ephesians, whereby you're sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. When you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, you cannot be lost because you're sealed with the King's seal.
Amen.
And why is it preachers don't want people to be sealed? We should be wanting people. They want people jagged or jabbed, whatever you want to call it. And there's a mark coming, and they're going to run for it. Don't you think people will be afraid to get the mark of the beast? They'll run to get it. They'll run to get it on them. People that profess Christianity are run as quick as the unsaved will run. They'll run for it. And everything the government brings out, people think, you know, one preacher not far from here, he told the whole church, you better go and get the job, all of you. And some of them left them, and they never went back. Now, if somebody gets it, that's up to them. But I never got it, and I won't be getting it, because I know so many people that's got it, and they're ticking bad. And so many people that never got it, they're not ticking bad. Now, if you've took it, don't worry about it. You're under the blood. Just believe that. And ignore that you've ever had it. Go on with God.
Amen.
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 But I'm telling you one thing. The mark of the beast will come in and people will take it. We need the seal of God, the rest of God.
Amen.
Our chapter begins with a warning. The seventh day, the Sabbath of the Jews, was clearly a type of eternal rest of a Christian. Under the ceremonial law, the Jews were commanded to work 6 days. Six is man's number. That's man's number. Now this is so interesting for me, and I haven't time to go into it all this morning. The highest and best man can do, the number of Antichrist, 666, Revelation 13, verse 18, is the number of a man. And why is it that the homosexual today, when they parade their flag, they have perverted the covenant blessing God gave to Noah, and they have a gay flag with a rainbow colors, but they only use 6 colors. But the real rainbow is 7 colors. Because 6 is the number of man, and 7 is God's number, because 7 is completion, and 7 speaks of rest. And when we cease from our own works, we enter into rest. And remember, if you go back to the book of Genesis, God labored for 6 days. He created, but on the seventh day, God rested. God rested. That's what Genesis teaches us. And there is a rest that remaineth for the people of God. Now, I want to try to explain this if I can, in case you miss it. Now, you know, Daniel also in 3 verse 1 speaks, the great image built by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon was 6 cubits wide and 60 cubits high. I think you remember I preached a few sermons from Daniel when we were in the Orange Hall in Scarva. And about that image and everything, and it all links back to the Antichrist. A lot of people get offended, you know, when you call the Pope the Antichrist.
Yes.
But why is he not the Antichrist? He sits in 7 hills. He wears a triple crown.
Amen.
He tells publicly, come to me and don't come to Jesus.
Yes, right.
Yes. Any man that puts himself, I don't care who the man is, even if it's a preacher, that makes him Antichrist. I'll tell you that right now.
Amen.
He's anti-word Antichrist. If any preacher says, you can get to Jesus through me, he's false. He's false. Because the Bible says there's only one way.
Amen.
There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Jesus says, I am the way. The way. Singular. Truth and life. Jesus is the only way. Now the Pope's not the only Antichrist. There's other Antichrists. But there will be a final Antichrist, which I believe will be one of the Popes. But I don't want to get into that this morning. But in Daniel 3 verse 1, you can read about it. Many think of one... You know, many think of one who lives perfectly all his life as an eternal heaven. People believe that. They think of the do well, do their neighbors good. How many knows people in this country especially believe that. Before one tries to keep the Jewish Sabbath on Sunday, let him remember that the legal ceremonial Sabbath pictures salvation by works. So if you're going to go down the road of a legal ceremonial Sabbath for salvation, it is works. Works. Now when you go to Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible warns you, not by works, lest any man should boast. So you can keep the Sabbath as long as you want. On Saturday, you can argue as a Sabbath, go ahead and keep it, but you're still not saved.
Great.
It's a program of works.
That's right.
It's a ceremonial law of works.
Yes.
Now I'm going to show you that they're going to done away with here in a moment. I'm going to show you there's an important verse here, and I mentioned it a lot, this verse. But I'm going to mention it again this morning. Those who never sinned would deserve heaven, but we know, like Peter said in Acts 15, verse 10, "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear?" You cannot do it through works. You know that Peter wouldn't even go to the Gentiles. How many knows that I'm preaching the truth here? Peter would not go to the Gentiles because they're unclean. He would only go to the Jews. But then God gave Peter a vision in the book of Acts where the sheet come down before him with all creeping, filthy animals.
Yes.
And the voice said to him, "Take and eat." And he said, no way. He more or less says, "I'm a religious Jew. And I've never eaten anything common or unclean." And the voice said, "Don't call what I've planned common or unclean." Then you know where he goes down to Cornelius and he preaches to them. And what happens? Think of what happens. Think of what I said about the rest of the Holy Spirit. While Peter yet spake these words,
Amen.
The Holy Ghost came on them.
Amen.
And then it says, and they heard them speak with tongues like we did at the beginning. And they baptized them. So they got the Holy Ghost ever before they got water baptism.
Amen.
So you can't make it as a rule of thumb that you have to get the water before the Holy Spirit. Because they got the Holy Spirit before the water. The old William Mullen, and I'm not reading William Mullen. You know, I love William Mullen. But William Mullen preached a sermon once, and it was false. And he preached that the Holy Spirit was withheld from them. And he gave his own doctrinal spin on it, which there was no scripture for. Then he got up in a pulpit, and he said tongues was tripe. And tripe is a cow's belly. Now, you cannot talk to God about the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, that's a solemn warning. You cannot do it. I don't care who the preacher is. And he was a great preacher, but he made that mistake. He was wrong. Now, I could have deceived him if I'd have been in the meeting. I could have deceived Willie Mullen. Without a real gift, I could have deceived him. Because he threw a challenge out. It would have to be a language. Well, I could have went up to William Mullen, and I could have let on the Spirit fell on me, and I could have said, "Mesipo says not on that, O Jesus." And I know none of you know what that means, but I do. Let us check his Slovakian. And it means you must be born again.
Yeah.
William Mullen, what would you have done with that? Nefambo Shakanaka. Let us show them. For travel well, the Lord be with you. Now you think, "No, I'm living," but I tell you, it's the truth. You cannot speak against the Holy Spirit. And he called it tripe. And how many other preachers have made a doctrinal rule in their organization that if you speak with tongues in their assembly, they'll actually throw you out. It's in their own writings. Now I'm sorry, I'll not be going down, I'll not be going there.
Glory.
I won't be fellowshipping with that. Because my Bible says, "Come out from amongst them."
Amen.
Come out. How can two walk together if they're not agreed? God brings you out of it. We're at the end time, brothers and sisters. We can't wander for 40 years. We need to come out and come in and come up.
Amen.
There's a Holy Spirit. The genuine Holy Spirit speaks with tongues.
Hallelujah.
He operates gifts. The genuine Holy Spirit manifests the power of God.
That's right.
But all weakness of sinful flesh made the law a failure. Listen to this. We will never enter into heaven, Sabbath of rest. At first we must obey the commandment of all our life. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. For this reason, the New Testament Christians are commanded not to judge. Listen to me this morning. Not to judge by ceremony. Listen to this. Which was nailed to the cross by Christ and the other ceremonial laws. You said, show me it. Colossians 2, verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of a new moon, or of Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And you know the Bible even goes on further and it says they'll forbid to eat meat. And they'll forbid to marry. And the Roman Catholic Church forbids their priests to marry. Where did it come from? The Bible tells you it's wrong. You're not to forbid people to marry. You're not to forbid people to eat meat. And some people are into eating all the... Look, somebody wants to eat vegetables, no meat. Praise God. If I went to their house, I wouldn't complain. But they're not going to tell me I can't have a lump of steak if I want it. Because if I prayed over it, I'm eating it. Amen.
Amen.
You say there's nothing to it. You don't realize some of the religions going about these days. That's what they believe. They try and shove it down. There's a thing going around now. This is what's happening. And I'm serious about this. I've been sent video footage. They'll show you a pig farmer and how cruel he is to the pig. They'll show you a fellow milking cows and how cruel he is to the cows. And they'll tell you that you shouldn't be taking anything to do with it. Because it's all cruelty. Now that's the same breed of people that when they take the horses round the fields and they hunt a fox, they'll take to the horse and cut stripes out of it. And they'll take the boy on it and they'll beat him too. And that's all right. But don't touch the wee innocent fox. That's the same people. When God says he's given us authority over the animals. Now I'm not promoting cruelty animals. Don't think I'm promoting cruelty animals. I'm not. But a beef is for eating, brother. And a cow's milk's for drinking.
Amen.
And that's the Bible. Now I'll ask them a question. And I want you to think of this morning. I'm serious.
Glory.
When Melchizedek came and he met with Abraham, how many knows what Abraham done? He made him a feast. And he come down and consumed it. Is that right? The first thing when Noah got off the ark, what did he do? He built an altar to the Lord. And he sacrificed one of the animals he had saved on that ark. He sacrificed one of them. What's the first thing God did when he took Abraham and Isaac and he laid Abraham up there? What's the first thing God did? God provided himself a sacrifice and they bled it. They didn't stun it with some gun. It has to be bled. So the heart pumps the blood out and the meat's clean.
Amen.
And that's the Bible way of doing it. And when Cain and Abel came at the beginning, Cain came with all beautiful stuff and fruit.
Yes.
So where does the spirit come from that promotes that?
Yes.
But Abel came with a bloody lamb over his shoulder, the blood running down him, and God accepted him.
Right.
When I see the blood, I'll pass over you.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
We have a sweet rest on the first day of the week before we do our work, because that's the way God made it. We believe that. There's pictures of that, but that's salvation by grace. We're saved without works, then we try to please God because we're saved. We don't do it because we're trying to get saved. We keep a Sabbath because we want to please God. We want to have a day of rest that we give to the Lord. And thanks for salvation.
Amen.
That's why we do it. The Sabbath, as we know it from the New Testament, is not the keeping of a certain day. We have no command whatsoever to keep the Sabbath for a Sabbath. Nor do we have any command to keep the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Here's the truth about it, which means Hebrews 4, verse 8 to 10. For if Jesus had given them rest, or rest day, then would he have not afterwards spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore rest keeping, Sabbath keeping to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works as God did from his. Did you hear that the key phrase in the last part of the verse? God ceased from his own works. God ceased from his own works.
Yeah, that's right.
Jerusalem's own works and because of arrest. He's showing you rest.
Amen.
And when you get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, you cease from your own works. You've entered into rest.
Amen.
There's no question, will you make heaven? You've made it.
Glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Did you get that? I'm going to say it again. There's no question, you've already made it. God didn't need to remake the world in 6 days. He already made them.
Yes.
And he rested on the seventh day. It was done.
Amen.
And your salvation has been paid for.
Amen.
Jesus said, and the cross is finished.
Right.
There's a rest for you. There's a rest for me.
Hallelujah.
And there's blessings in that rest. Healing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And all them wonderful things are in that rest.
Right.
Praise God. He entered in rest. He also had ceased from his own works as God from his. Did you hear that key phrase? God ceased from his own works. God gave Israel the seventh day for the Sabbath and ceremonial of his own works wherein he created the world and all that was therein and then stopped creating. He ceased from his labors. He rested. Now it was fine to give a Sabbath rest to people who were all in one place at one time. And so the certain day they kept it. Now, you see, half the world's in light now and half of it's in darkness.
Right.
We couldn't do it at the same time. How many knows that? In Australia now, it's evening time. They're getting ready to go to bed. We've just got out of bed. They're like a day in front of us. New Zealand's the same. Daniel rings us when he's getting up, we're going to bed. Sometimes he'll say, what time is it? 10:30 at night. Where are you? Getting into bed. So I know. So you couldn't have a day that you would do it to fix everybody up on the same time. It wouldn't work. Amen. But it's not talking about that. Today half the world see light and darkness, so it wouldn't work at all. But that is just an argument from the natural standpoint. That's all it is. Let's see what the Bible teaches about the Sabbath rest. He entered into his rest. The entering in is not only entering in, but remaining in. Remaining in. The rest is an eternal rest of which seventh day is but a type. Seventh is completion. Eighth is the first day of the week. Jesus' resurrection was on the first day of the week.
Amen.
And Paul said afterward if he would have spoken of another day, an eighth day, but there's no eighth day. But Christ rose on the first day of the week.
Hallelujah.
To give us eternal rest.
Amen.
And he's paid the price for us. To enter into his rest where we cease from our own works.
Right.
And when you're saved, you weren't saved by works. And you're not kept by works either. Let me tell you that.
Amen.
Works don't keep you. You do good works because you're saved. Your works follow you.
Right.
But your works doesn't give you more favor with God.
Oh,
one of the brothers mentioned the other night, and it's so true, gifts and callings are without repentance. Now, we don't live like the devil. We want to live righteous, isn't that right?
Amen.
But we're saved by grace. But that Holy Spirit is a rest of God. And God wants us to enter into that rest of his. Thus we see why God could not give us one certain day of a week rest. We are entered in to remain in rest, which Israel could not do. They couldn't do that because Christ hadn't went to the cross. And having only a shadow of the true substance which we enjoy, why go back to the shadow when we have the reality? Why go back to the shadow? But you know an awful lot of people's working on the shadow. But they're not working on the substance. But God wants us to have the substance. And you know divine healing is part of that substance.
Amen.
It's part of it.
Amen.
And your salvation is part of it. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is part of it. Praise God. I'm going to have to close and I'm almost finished. Now we receive this rest, continuing Sabbath, is an invitation of Jesus. He said in Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what the Lord said. He gives us the rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and ye shall find rest, or keeping of the Sabbath, not a day, but an eternal Sabbath. When you come to Jesus Christ, you enter into the eternal Sabbath. You are saved for all time and eternity. It is an eternal rest.
Amen.
Somebody said, do you think they're resting? Somebody that's went on, do you think they're resting? If they're saved, they're at rest. They're at rest with God.
Right.
You know, people in heaven can see you in here.
Right.
Yet I've been looking a bit at that. There's loads of scriptures to prove it. I'm surprised myself.
Amen.
They can see you. There's lots of things, you see, what people don't know, but the Bible's the answer for everything.
Amen, amen.
And when you take the search and something out, there's an answer for everything in this Bible.
Amen.
You just need the Holy Spirit to open it up.
Great.
You look at the rich man and Lazarus. There's so many other examples, better ones than that. I don't want to get sidetracked on that this morning. I'll preach on the Lord willing about heaven. It's a wonderful things Jesus said about it. I have not seen or ear hath not heard, neither is that in the heart of man. Things God's prepared for them. I'm going to prepare a place for you.
Amen.
Even talks about the size of the New Jerusalem and everything. I tell you, it's wonderful. No matter how long you've been laboring under a load of sin, whether it is 10 years, 30 years, or 50 years, or longer, come with your tired and load and bring it all to the Lord and enter into the Sabbath of the Lord, and He'll give you rest. Rest in the Lord.
Amen.
You see, somebody could go out today on a bike and it's enjoyed. Look, if you've ever ridden a motorbike, how many in here has ever ridden a motorbike? If you've ever rode a motorbike, it's enjoyable. There's something about it. I was going to say the hair blowing in the wind, but there's no chance for me. Mine blew away in the wind. It blew away in the wind. But there's something about riding the bike, you know, going around the corners and all. There's something about it. But yeah, but it's enjoyable.
Amen.
But what I'm only using, it's maybe not a good example. You could go in a car for a drive, it's enjoyable. But people put off salvation. They put it off for another day. But then what happens? Young man, just a few weeks ago, fit as a fiddle. He did triathlons and all sorts of fitness. And he went in for a swim in the swimming pool and just dropped dead.
That's right.
They brought him out on the side. They tried to recover him. Couldn't do it. What about the young man, Gilliland? A lot of us knew him in here. Fixing on a roof. Never planned it when he went up there.
Right.
Now, you can be so busy that you've no time for the things of God. Well, what happens if you have an accident? And you're sitting at home. My van was wrecked just the other week in the crash. Now they gave me another van. But you see, is it important that we're rushing here and there? The important thing is that we're right with God.
Amen.
The important thing is we're ready to go. That's the important thing. And as I think our brother John said some time back when he preached about the rat race, everybody's running. They've no time today. Now, I've been on building sites, and you go on building sites, they cannot build them things fast enough. Now, I can't understand. From when I was a young fella, how it's all changed. You say, what are you talking about? You see, when I was a young fella, when you built a foundation, blocks on a foundation, you weren't allowed to do no more. You had to leave it. They wouldn't let you build straight on it. But now, you can put the founds in today and build it tomorrow. Take it to the roof. Literally in a fortnight they can build a house.
Right.
In a fortnight. Now I'm not smart, but I'm going to tell you one thing. The walls will crack.
That's right.
I can guarantee you that, for I've seen it 1,000 times. The walls will crack. Because
right.
It went up too quick.
That's right.
And it's a big rat race, so we have to have it done today. Do you ever go to somebody to work and there's a whole panic? It has to be done today. But a people that the same thought for God. Now exactly that's the rest. Look, Isaiah 28, verse 8 to 12. For all the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there's no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. So with stammering lips and other tongues will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is a rest. This is a Sabbath.
Amen.
Moses even prophesied of Christ coming. Moses did. You know that? And there's only one rest, and that rests in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yes.
And you cease from your own works. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians, and then we're going to have communion. Praise God.
Amen.
I don't want to go on too long this morning. I hope I've made sense. Maybe I haven't, but verse 23 of 1 Corinthians. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So the bread's no power in it. It's in remembrance of the Lord. But it's a spiritual application. Praise God. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, and my blood, this do ye as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat that bread and drink that cup of the Lord. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many asleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Aren't you glad the Lord chastens us? That we should be not condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's come and bow our heads this morning. And maybe your sister could come to the organ just in a moment. But want to give thanks to the Lord. Rest. Now, I don't want you to miss this. If this is a word from you, I want you to receive this. I hadn't planned to preach this. I wasn't really properly prepared to preach it, but I'm trying to bring it. Maybe the Lord's speaking to somebody and you're struggling, and God's saying you need a rest.
Amen.
It's like being healed. A lot of people try to be healed, but you can't try to be healed. You just rest and let God do it.
Amen.
It's like trying to be saved. You don't try to be saved, you just believe. You believe and you are saved.
Hallelujah.
For by faith, for by grace, through faith you are saved. You just believe. You don't try to believe.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, I just pray this morning that you'll speak to men and women in this room. Bless them and strengthen them. Encourage them. Save every single one of them. Every boy and every girl, those that's here and on our hearts, near and dear to us, save them. In the name of Jesus Christ, help every one of us to rest in you. You are our rest. Help us to rest in you. To cease from our own works, Lord. That the struggle would stop. And we'd let you do it. Help men and women to rest in you. In healing. In the Holy Spirit and salvation. Help us, Lord. And Father, we pray you'll bless this bread and bless the wine. If we break this bread in remembrance of you, Lord Jesus, bless it as the brethren take it. And sanctify the wine as they partake it, remembering your precious blood and your precious body. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the deacons just to come.